The Burt Show.
All right, let's get Katrina back on the show. It's been a while since we talked to her.
I know. Hey, Katrina.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm good.
We spent a good time a while back talking to Katrina about her relationship with her dad and these unsettling weight expectations that he had put on her.
That's right.
It got so bad after a while that tell them again about the challenge that your dad issued to you.
Oh, my father issued me a gauntlet is the last word he used for $1,000 to lose, I believe it was 50 pounds by the family reunion.
Which was insulting
to a lot
of people.
It was $1,000, yeah.
And he has always put pressure on you about weight, or he's always very
body image.
It's always
been the deal. I mean, it's been not just me, my mom, my brother, everyone, so.
And you told us your dad's like a stud, like he's in shape.
Yeah.
I mean, he exercises all the time. He looks like he's 24 years old or
like,
whatever.
Like, you know that guy in the Bowflex commercial who's like all buff and looking good, and he's like, and I'm 50 years old. Mm-hmm. That commercial was actually an idea my father wanted me to pitch to Nike about his workout.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
He's so vain. It's sad.
So he sort of put this on you.
Yes.
And he has always approached you?
Always. It's never, there is never a conversation that happens between me and my father that doesn't include my weight.
That's so sad.
We can be talking about the heat and the weather, and he'll be like, so are you going to the gym? Yeah. So that's just.
That's wasted time on his part. You know, like,
I think he just feels like as long as I say it, I've done my part. And if she still wants to be fat, then that's on her. Like, that's, I truly think that's his thought process.
So we had her on a couple of months ago, and we normally would probably say, you know what? That must really hurt. Let's get you a trainer. Let's get you a nutritionist, and let's get you on the right path, right? But we didn't do that because with Katrina, we thought, you're not going to keep the weight off if you're doing it for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this was more about the relationship between her and her dad than it was about the weight, right? I mean, when we were talking before,
well,
I mean, you
at
got
the
really
time,
upset
yeah,
and emotional.
Yeah,
and
it became the babbling brook.
No, it's
hurtful.
It's okay. I mean, I understand, but it was more of a combination at the time, and it was just, I don't know what it was that day. It was just all of the issues were culminating and coming together. And
you don't
I was
gotta
like,
make
oh my
excuses.
God.
Yeah.
I know.
Never apologize to cry on this show.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. No, I don't mind crying. I can now. No.
Someone break out the mace. We need it to happen.
Right. Exactly.
So this reunion happened a couple of weeks ago, right?
It sure did. July 20th.
And do you see your dad on a daily, or do you see him every now and then?
I see my father. He lives in New York, so I see him either whenever he comes down or when I head up home. So. Mm-hmm.
So as the reunion approached, did he ask you more and more about your weight? Because we kind of felt like the reunion was a Katrina trophy for him. Like, he wanted to show everybody else in the family that my daughter looks great and she lost all this weight.
Which is partially true because this was a new side of the family that we were joining with. And so I guess he just wanted our very best. I mean, the entire family's vain. My father's just, you know, to the 10th power. Basically, I think that's what it was. He actually, after I cried on air last time, we had fallout after fallout. I was like, I'm tired of talking about it and don't talk about my weight. I am what I am. I'm going to be where I'm going to be. And the last thing he said to me was, I'm not going to mention it anymore. It's out there. You do whatever you're going to do. You do whatever you decide. And then we'll go from there. So,
okay.
Yeah. Until the family.
I was going to say, did he hold to that?
The very first thing my father said to me, he gave me a hug. We all went into the hotel and he, you know, we were just having plain conversation because my brother was there and we were joking around and he jumps up and is, well, what I want to know is how someone can put $1,000 gauntlet out there to lose a little weight and you don't take it. I don't understand.
And he said this in front of everybody.
It was just myself, my brother, and him. We were in the hotel
room. But still, I mean, he's being the role model for your brother to judge women that way, too.
Yeah.
And that's so sad.
So after he said that to you, did you guys have another falling out, or how'd that make you feel?
I was going to let it go, and I wasn't going. I'm like, you know what? He's not even worth it. I'm not going to bother. But, you know, I explained to him that after I'd come on air, I definitely did take steps to lose weight for myself because that's what I wanted to do. I'd started walking. I became a lot more active and was eating a lot healthier than I had been. And I tried like two different diets in that span of time. And I mean, me trying to lose weight has always been a struggle. It's always been something that I've wanted to do for myself. It's just the added pressure of my father. So I explained that to him and everything, and he just didn't acknowledge it, and we just went on about our business. And I was just like, unbelievable. So,
it, like when I saw some of your postings on Facebook, and I've seen the emails also, and it seems to me like it's your, it's like you're part of the family image for your dad.
Right.
And if he, if you don't look like the way he wants you to look, then he's embarrassed for the family.
I can see that. Well, I don't know if it's that. I think it's just he feels, he thinks, you know, he says, he'll say, I'm a pretty girl. And I've had other family members say, you know, you're a pretty girl. You shouldn't do that to yourself. And I'm just like, what am I doing to myself? I'm not purposely getting fat or, you know, shoving my face full of food. I just, the family's
unreal.
It's just, I think it's kind of just so disturbing because you think of a parent's love for a child as being unconditional.
Yeah.
And it does seem so conditional.
Mm-hmm. It does. And that's what.
And your mom isn't around anymore, right? We didn't
right,
talk
yeah,
about that.
She passed away in 2003. So.
Okay. Has the weight heat been turned up since your mom passed away from your dad?
Has the weight heat, truthfully, it's actually probably just been at the same degree for all my life. It's just not like I just know the conversation. I know how they're going to go. I know what we're going to talk about. And it's just always been that way from high school on. And, you know, like I said, he'll always go back to the glory days of when I was a senior in high school saying, oh, you know, you almost were in a two-piece, but your arms, you know. So it was even at that time when I was so small and almost in a two-piece. He would say, well, you know, you can do more ab exercises. So,
I a friend of a friend I knew who had been married and she was in shape at the time of the marriage, but her husband was giving her such a hard time about maintaining that figure. And then she started gaining weight and then the marriage actually eventually fell apart and broke apart. And she then did not try to get back in shape because there was a part of her and she had conveyed it to my friend that she said, at least I know that if somebody loves me now or falls in love with me, they're falling in love with me and I won't have that pressure from them,
right,
you know?
Right.
So I just wonder, is there a part of you that, you know, you may want to be motivated to lose weight, but is there a part of you that would feel defeated by doing it because your dad's pressure?
By losing the weight?
Mm-hmm.
Truthfully,
like it
no.
wouldn't be a fulfilling thing? It would just be like, I don't know.
No, because me losing weight is more about my comfort level and how I feel. And I know how I would like to look. And I mean, even in losing weight, I don't want to be, and I will never be as small as I think my father has in mind. Like, to him, I think, you know, I'm 5'8". I think he plans on seeing me at 125 and calling it a day, you know, and sickly. But I have no aspirations to be that small. I just want to get back to the point where I'm comfortable and feel that I look great. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's where I'm at.
Hey,
so.
Lisa, you're on Q100. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I love your show. I just wanted to say that I feel for you. My father did the same thing. I'm 41 now. And all growing up, and even now, sometimes I feel the same way. I'm morbidly obese, and he always made me feel like I was less of a person, and he loved me less than anybody else.
Oh.
And he loves me, but he doesn't love me like he would if I was, and I'm going to get upset, but he doesn't love me like he would if I was a thin woman.
Right.
Does she speak for you, too? Do you sort of feel the same way?
I can say that because there have been times I lost weight a few years ago where I lost 60 pounds. I mean, I've been huger. So I'd lost a lot of weight and I hadn't seen my father. It was the same sporadic, you know, 6 months, 8 months or what have you. And he would just be like, oh, there's less of you to hug.
It's always centered around
it's
weight.
It's always constantly it's like you. Crazy. My it's actually, cruel. I've gained an I've developed an anxiety for when I get off the plane. And, you know, when you meet that person who's coming to pick you up.
That's
and
not
it's
your
just
fault.
Like, and just to see the, you can always gauge the reaction when you're walking out of the airport and you see, you know, his face and you're like, oh, all right, well, I guess I'm not doing as well as I thought I was. So,
Katrina, you're a beautiful woman, exactly
Absolutely.
The way that you are.
Thank
and I know you.
You
don't have to hear that all the time, but it seems like you might need to.
Yeah.
Because you've been hearing the other thing for so long.
Do you gorgeous. Feel like you're beautiful?
I think I'm cute.
You're a beautiful woman.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
I think I'm cute. Like, I don't think I'm an ugly girl. Like, I'm not like, oh, girl, I'm ugly. Pass me a sub. Like, I'm not bad like that. But, you know, I mean, I feel like it really goes back to my own comfort level and just where I felt like I looked my best. And I'm just struggling trying to get back to that. And sometimes it is almost that defeatist where, you know, you're doing it, you're making progress, and you're making moves. And the next conversation you have, you know, the next conversation I have with my dad is just like last week, I was like, oh, I'm going to the gym. He's like, ha, 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 you're going to the gym. Like, oh, my goodness. Yes.
Like, mocking me for it.
He's ridiculous.
Well, here's the effect that it's had on her also. If you go to her Facebook, she writes on her wall that, hey, it's Fat Trina here.
I said, hey, hey, hey. It was a joke. It was like Fat Albert. I was having a bad day that day.
But still, I mean, it's obviously, I just think that, I mean, I don't know. Because your father's definitely extreme, and the caller we just had, you know, it obviously has affected her. But I just think sometimes guys don't realize just the subtle effects, even if they don't flat out say it. Because, you know, so many times we hear, and it's not just guys. I mean, girls do too. But I think for a lot of women who need the male, you know, attention and affection and approval. So many guys are commenting on women all the time and commenting on women's bodies and all this stuff. And it has an effect on women around all around them they don't even know that are thinking to themselves, well, obviously I must not be pretty enough because I don't fit that standard that guys are always critiquing. So,
but, and imagine that coming from your own father.
Yeah. No.
I cannot imagine it. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine. Now, did your mom used to deflect it from you? Like, did she take more of it? When she was around?
Well, I don't know that she took more of it. I think she got to the point where she would just ignore him and say, you know what, shut up or what have you. Because, he, you know, like I said before, the last time we spoke, I read a letter. I was barely born. And, you know, he's like, I want to see you back at 115, you know, in like this great love letter to her from school. So it's just always something that he's focused on. And my mom basically would just say, you know what, shut up. And then she got sick. So it was like, this is the medicine. This is what's going to happen. So deal with it. This is your choice.
Dana, go ahead.
Mm. Hey, good morning. How are you all?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, I am a plus size woman. I'm almost 300 pounds, but I am the most confident. I feel like I am the sexiest. In fact, I get more men approaching me now that I'm at this size than when I was smaller.
That's funny.
It really is about being confident. And I've had people, you know, of course, family members talk about the weight, but over the years, they realize that it doesn't affect me. And you have to build that. You have to really know within yourself the beauty that you have within yourself. And I walk out of my stiletto heels and walk and show it off like anybody else and proud of who I am because I know that I'm fine.
Some have that attitude, and I, you know, as I'm watching Katrina here, and I'm seeing her eyes well up, and we can hear the pain in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you are capable of defining yourself as a confident, sexy woman at the weight that you're at right now. Whereas this woman can, I don't know that you can.
Right. I mean, I feel almost awkward. Like I'm in that in between. Like I'm not very, very thin. I'm not very, very heavy, and it's just. I'm definitely not comfortable. And a lot of it is that I appear confident because I deflect.
Mm-hmm.
I deflect by being loud and boisterous because, you know, obviously personality is over everything. So,
but my concern is that you won't be confident when you reach whatever comfort weight. Because I don't even know if you know what your comfort weight is because you say it's not about my father. It's about what makes me comfortable. And I just think there's so much. I don't know, messages he's given you that I don't know if you can differentiate the two. And so I'm concerned. I think what the caller was saying is be confident in yourself regardless of what your weight is, because I don't know. I worry that you won't get what you're looking for just by losing weight.
Yeah, I want to play Dr. Phil here for a second also, because if your expectation somewhere in your head is that you're going to lose so much weight that your dad is going to be so proud of you, he has already built a pattern of showing you that even when you're a lesser weight, it's not good enough for him. So you can't do this for him. It will never be enough. If you have a six-pack, he wants 8.
Right.
You know? He wants 12.
If you're, if you're 120, he wants you to be 115. So I hope you know that you can never, ever, ever live up to his expectation.
Absolutely. And that's actually not the goal here. I mean, that's funny that you said that because he actually told me and my brother to bet him $1,000 that he would get a six pack. strange. I'm sorry.
But that's him. Well,
and here's, yeah, that's here's him. The other wow. thing about, I think, absolutely. And I've talked to friends about this who are like, you know, always like, well, when I get back to a size, blah, right. I'm going to go shopping. When I get back right. to a whatever. It's like, then you're not living in the moment of your life. Right. You're always in some future place. Like, in the future, absolutely. Someday, I'm going to be happy with myself. In the future, someday. It's like, you got to live right now. You got to live for today. And that means live for today at the size where you are. And like that last caller said, own it. Mm-hmm. Be who you are right now today, because tomorrow's no guarantee. And if you're always in that mindset of like, that, you know, that diet, or when I get back to the size that I wanted to be, or when I can fit into my skinny jeans or whatever else, you're not living in that day, in that present moment.
Charlene, end this thing with something positive here. Come on.
Oh, I just have to say, I've been on both sides of the fence. I was married to a man. I was 125, and that was not skinny enough for him. Mm-hmm. At the same time, now I'm over 200 pounds, and I'm married to a man who absolutely adores me. But men have nothing to do with it, dear. You go on with your bad self. You are probably dead sexy. And so what if there's a few little speed bumps along the curves? Keep on going. You will probably look fabulous.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's what I'm looking for right there.
The Burt Show.
Hi.
Hi. You are on the voice disguise.
So tomorrow night I'm going to the midnight swim.
Oh, she's ready to go.
Yeah, okay. You are. She's got a story to tell.
I'm ready to go. All right. I'm excited. I was dating this guy for 2 years. I was crazy about him. 6 months ago, he broke it off with me for whatever reason. It was kind of out of the blue. And he started dating like this really hot girl. You know, for a while I was kind of moping, but I decided, like, I was going to get in shape, I was going to change, I was going to, you know, just, like, make it into a good situation. So I like, lost a bunch of weight, I've been working out, I'm real toned, I've been tanning, I've got my hair done, I got highlights, I'm feeling great, and
This is what we call, as the guys, we call this a spiteful makeover. Mm-hmm. So when you break up with somebody, then all of a sudden you become way, way, way hotter, and we know the game. Then you guys end up at the same place where you know he's going to be. He may be a regular at Fido's or whatever, but you know he's going to be there, and then after you get your hotness on, you just, I had no idea you were going to be here. Look at me, how hot I've turned out to be, and you can't have any of it.
Right. How do you know that he's for sure going to be at Midnight Swim?
I heard that through the grapevine. Like, we still hang out with the same sort of group. I haven't seen him in a little while, but I heard that he's going to be there. I mean, I don't think he would miss it. So,
well, there's a key thing that Bert said. I just want to highlight where you said, look how hot I am, and you can't have any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's remember Bert said that. Okay, go ahead.
With that said.
Now, when I see him at Midnight Swim, I don't know. I want him to see how hot I am. Mm-hmm. And when he does, I don't know whether I'm going to, you know, like, if he wants me back, I don't know if that he's going to stay in that hotel room with me, or if I'll just tell him to get lost, and then he'll be moping for 6 months.
So you are specifically going there to reel him in?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm going there because I look good, and I want him to see how good I look, and I want him to want me back.
But don't you understand,
all
like,
that is
for
good up until the part where you're going to actually hook up with him.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know.
You do know how it's going to go. Come on now.
You already got it set in.
Tell us what you want to happen.
I mean, maybe I'll hook up with him, and then maybe I'll make him want me for the next 6 months. Who knows?
But you could probably accomplish that with just showing up and showing him how hot you have become. You don't need to do that last step, because there is a good chance that he'll just sleep with you, and then that'll be it. Thanks for that. You look so great, but things haven't changed between the two of us.
Well, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I just want him to see how good I look, and maybe that'll be enough. And, you know,
that should be enough.
Yeah. Now,
and if you get tempted, just like start dating someone else, you know, or start talking to some other guys at the party.
Yeah, that is a way better revenge. That is a way better revenge than sleeping with him. If you look that good and you don't give him the time of day, don't even acknowledge him, no hello, and you're talking to a whole bunch of dudes, and he sees that, you don't see the hurt in his eyes, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
That's way worse.
Yeah, I'm going to call you out, because I believe that you are intending to sleep with him tomorrow night. Because maybe we'll see what happens. You have every intention. Because I wonder, why did you get a hotel room by yourself instead of with, well, I mean, a lot of people have done that, but I think that reservation in your hotel room was just for him and not for somebody else.
Well, it could be for somebody else, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I guess maybe.
Yeah.
Just for the record, you're about to get beat up. Good morning, Tisha. You're on Q100.
Hey, I just wanted to say that this girl is kind of ridiculous. Men are simple creatures. If he broke up with you, he broke up with you for a reason. And then women, they look sloppy when they're with their man. All of a sudden, highlights, tuck-ins, boob jobs, all this stuff to get him back. If you were like that when you were together, maybe he wouldn't have broke up with you. And now you want to sleep with him? You're just going to get used.
Oh, damn.
Damn that.
I just hate when women do this because they do this all the time. I had a friend who did this. She was like, okay, he's totally going to be there. So I'm like, I totally have to look cute. He's not with you anymore. He's just going to say, oh, that's my ex-girlfriend. Oh, she looks better than when she was with me.
No, I think you're wrong on that. What I think a guy will do is go, I don't want to be with her, but damn, she looks good, so I'll sleep with her tonight at least.
I got nothing else going on tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's the intention. I mean, he's just looking to have sex.
That was kind of mean about it's your fault that he left. You know, like if you'd been doing that while you were together, he wouldn't have left. Kind of, I don't agree with that, but.
What was the reason why the two of you guys broke up? And did he break up or was it mutual?
He broke it off, and I guess I felt it coming sort of, but the fact he said he needed to not be together, not be with anybody, but then he immediately started dating this other girl. You know, she was like gorgeous girl, blonde hair, just real, real hot, real cute, and, you know, made me feel best.
It's easier said than done, but let it go.
Yeah, man. And don't give him the good stuff.
He's not that into you. Look good and somebody else.
Go towards somebody else at Midnight Swim.
Hey, Kat, you're on Q100.
Hey, I want to know what is wrong with you. Seriously, let it go. Yes, let it go. He is still not worth it. The best revenge is looking hot.
Mm-hmm.
Looking hot and have him want you. You don't have to actually sleep with him.
And being unavailable. I think the main key is the best revenge is to have him say, hey, wait a second, maybe I changed my mind, and you're like, too late.
Do you see the flaw in your plan here?
I guess I do. I guess I see it.
If you think of it with your head, you can. If you think of it with your heart and how much your heart's been broken and all the emotions tied up in it, then you get all out of your mind. But if you could take your situation and make it about one of your friends, if your friend came to you and painted this whole exact same scenario, what would you tell your friend to do? And then do that, not what you're thinking in your head to do. Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Wes, give her a little tough love here.
And you talk her into it.
You got to give the tough love because she's just going to be used and abused and thrown out like the trash again. I mean, there's nothing there. It's obvious that the emotional part isn't there. He didn't think she was hot, so he dumped her, and now she gets all his stuff done, and he's going to bang it for a little bit and move on.
Hey. Wow.
Your game is way on, baby.
But I think that sometimes you need that kind of brutal advice to get it.
Well, I think everybody's coming down on you because you sound so wishy-washy. Because that's why I keep calling you out. You know what you plan on doing. You plan on going there tomorrow night. You got all the highlights and you're looking good. And I think you're doing that for the sole purpose of trying to run into him again. And I think it's a mistake, as everybody does, for you to go to sleep with him. And it's like, and I have a sense that we're not agreeing with what your plan is. And so you are kind of like backing off a little bit, like, okay, well, maybe this, and I guess that or whatever. And I think that's why everybody's coming so strong.
All right, let me take one more call from a woman that has done this very plan recently, and let's see how it all turned out.
Okay.
And then we'll move on. Misty, good morning. You're on the Burt Show, Q100.
Good morning. I love you guys. This is totally a bad idea. Last weekend, I did the same plan. I've gotten my boobs done. I've gotten new hair extensions. Went and saw my ex. Said, oh, I'm just going to look hot. I'm just going to look hot. Let's party hardy. Drink Bacardi. Yeah. Then I was like, okay, if I sleep with him, then he'll want me back. Yeah, today is what, Friday? No calls. Yeah. 5 days.
Yeah, that's not real shocking, I got to tell you.
Maybe he's just been busy.
Right. Owning your own company and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no.
Look, I'm going to say something really bold here. Really, really bold. Women, listen very, very carefully. Guys want sex. There it is. There it is. It's edgy. It's bold. He doesn't care. If he has no emotional connection to you at all, if you look hotter than you did then, he will have sex with you, he will sleep with you, and you will never hear from him again.
maybe I will, maybe I won't. But I mean, I think maybe, I don't know. It might be no strings attached on my end too. It could just happen, and
yeah, it could just happen.
Okay. All right, sure.
Okay.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
Of course not. But she's got to
be honest with yourself.
Yeah, you're gonna do what you want.
Listening.
So go do what you want. But
she's
we're telling you right
us.
Now, if you sleep with him this weekend, he's not calling you on Monday. But if that's what you got to do, you think to go get your man, then go do what you got to do.
All right.
Okay. Good luck.
The Burt Show.
There are a couple of women in New York City that have taken a look at some of the bosses that they've worked for before. These guys that wine and dine clients that they want to get on board. Take them on these golf outings, take them out to dinner, take mm-hmm. them to strip clubs. Do whatever you have to do, you know? And they write off, as a tax write-off, all of those meetings when you're trying to recruit a client, a new mm-hmm. client. So a couple of women, not so long ago, are running a company, and they have a really important client, also a woman, whose business that they want to snag. So they arrange to go shoe shopping together, all okay. of them, and the client. It's an all-day outing in Manhattan during their fashion week. They book an expensive lunch also in between the designer sample sales. And then that night, they pay premium prices to attend a sold-out quilt show.
A what?
Quilt.
A quilt show. Now, if you want to get a client on board, if you're a dude, do not suggest the quilt show.
I'm just surprised there's a quilt show that sold out.
Yeah, right? It sounds like an oxymoron. So they, even though they run the company, they wrote that off also. They're trying to recruit a big-time client.
Mm-hmm.
And right before they turn in all their receipts, their accountant said, can't be done. Can't go out shoe shopping
mm-hmm.
and claim it as a tax write-off.
Right.
And these women said, well, we wouldn't go shopping this day if we weren't trying to recruit this client.
And did they buy the shoes for the client?
It does not say. I think they are just taking all the time that they were with this new client, mm-hmm. including the shoe shopping,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
and saying everything should be written off, which is really setting a dangerous precedent,
yeah.
I think.
Because you can't do that because they have something left over from it. They're going to wear those shoes again for other stuff. So, I mean, they can't do that.
So if a guy went, well, we would just never, ever suggest clothes shopping to each other. So it's not even a good comparison.
It's a difficult analogy to make there. Yeah.
But if you set the precedent where it's okay for women to take other women shoe shopping
mm-mm.
as a point of recruitment, what a green light that's going to be.
Right. Well, and where do you draw the line? Like say if it was like a guy's like business meeting or whatever and you paid for a round of golf, you could write that off.
That you can actually now, I believe, write that off.
So it's a comparable thing would be like a day at the spa.
Right.
Would
like
you
for
be able
a woman,
to write
would you
that
be
off?
Able to write that off? You know, I understand like actually purchasing things, mm-hmm. but like say you bought a golf club for a client, couldn't you buy shoes for a client and write off that too?
That sounds so dangerous to me. Women buying shoes yeah. for other women as a tax write-off. Someone's going to launch an investigation.
I just wonder where that
quickly.
Line is drawn. If it's like an item or a service.
I don't know.
Because I would always thought it's if you take it with you and you use it in somewhere else. So if it's a guy, because I did, can they, is it a tax write-off if a guy buys clubs that a client can take with him?
That I don't know. But
I don't
know
think
if,
that is. But a service is going and an experience of a round of golf makes sense. So like
right.
you said, I think it's a great comparison. Going to the spa because it's just services. You don't take anything home with you.
Mm-hmm.
Then that could be a tax write-off for
it's,
sure.
It's
but
in
not
court.
Shoes.
It's in court right now.
Are they
so,
really?
Yes.
Wow.
Boy, that is going to really free you guys up big time. Oh my God. Do you know how many times over the course of a year you guys are going to figure out ways to try to recruit people on the radio for us? If you can write off shoes.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
I mean, if you can. I mean. I just don't think they're going to be able to pass that.
Well, they're saying it's got a good chance. So we'll let you know over the next couple of weeks if it actually happens or not.
The Burt Show.